You've got the concept and you've got the passion, but where do you go from here? Womenpreneur Strategies for Success is here to help you learn the exact tools, mindset shifts, and proven growth strategies to build the business you want while still having a life. You've got the will. Let us help you find the way. With your host, successful entrepreneur, Smita Singh.
Hello and welcome to Womenpreneur Strategies for Success. Womenpreneur Podcast is for you, my bold and fearless entrepreneurs, to take that next step in your life. Maybe you're hesitant to start your first business, or maybe you already have and want more people in your email list, or maybe you have your six-figure business and want to elevate it to the next level. We are here for you, to give you the tools, tips, and strategies to do it, and to do it so you can have the freedom of time and money. If you need help immediately in converting your website visits to email subscribers, I've made a free guide filled with actionable tips so you can use it today. This guide will help you if you have a product-based business or even an online business. So don't hold back. Go get it. And when it works, do let me know. Email me at smita@womenpreneursuccess.com or go on my website, womenpreneursuccess.com, and sign up, and I'll send it to you personally. Today, we are talking to Joanne Wilson, the Gotham Gal. She is an involved, savvy startup investor. Joanne started a blog, The Gotham Gal, when she stopped working and still wanted to be in touch with the industry, which is still super active today, the blog. She invests in a lot of startups and has a special affection for women-owned startups. She is a self-made woman who believes in encouraging women to think big and is a very hands-on mentor to the companies that she invests in. In her recent post on her blog, she describes herself as curious, energetic, bold, mother, optimistic, connoisseur, trendseer, and she also encourages her readers to not only try to describe themselves in 7 words, but also their business. So try it, y'all. Go and describe yourself and your business in 7 words. We talk about a lot of things today, including when is the right time to seek funding for your business, and if it's too early sometimes. Women under-promise and over-deliver, she says, and that can be a challenge. Having confidence and build your own roadmap is super important. She also encourages a first-time entrepreneur to be smart about their money. Be scrappy and creative with your money. So let's get right into it with the Gotham Gal herself. Hi, Joanne. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am so excited to have the Gotham Gal on.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. You know, you're doing so many wonderful things and you're so well known in the angel investing circles. I know a lot of women look up to you. I want to know where you started and how did you become the Gotham Gal?
I started blogging about 11 years ago. I had left the tech industry, as many did in the mid-90s, and as I started to think about what do I want to do next in regards to my career, I was sort of moving into, I was home with my kids, I was trying to figure out the next role, and I really wanted to remain connected to the technology industry at being at home. I wasn't sure what the next move would be. And people started blogging. My husband started blogging. And 2 weeks later, I started blogging. And I felt that would be keep my connection to the old industry, sort of keep my cred. And then what I realized is over time that it wasn't so much the connection I was maintaining with the industry in the mid-90s. What I was doing was building a new audience as more and more people were growing up, using technology, new businesses came into play. And over time, I just started gaining an audience and particularly hearing a lot from women.
Nice. And how did you come about investing in women-owned companies?
Well, I don't only invest in women-owned companies.
Okay.
But I started hearing from a lot of women from the things I was writing on my blog, and it was really nice to hear them. And I, at that point, had a lot more time and the ability to sort of meet and greet and talk and coffee. And I first saw a woman, and I was really interested in what she was doing, and she wanted me to be helpful to her. And I said, listen, I don't really have the time to be your, you know, mentor or whatever, but if I was invested in your company, that would be really different. And she said, great. So I invested in her company. And then I saw another woman, same kind of thing. And it was really my husband who said, you know, you might want to make a conscious effort to really invest in women because you understand their businesses. And we're seeing a lot more women come into the startup world. And you connect with those women and you see where those businesses are going, where many people in the tech business or who are investors might have a harder time getting there. And so I did. I made a really conscious decision to invest in women.
Do you remember what was your first ever company that you invested in?
Yeah, absolutely. It was Curve Media. And I had been watching that company from afar when really the world started changing and you know, the internet started percolating again. Not that I stopped ever using it, but we started to see all these new companies come into play. And, you know, I guess that is the time that we refer to as Web 2.0. And I had met with Lockhart before. I was fascinated with what he was doing. I really felt that Curb and Eater and Rack was the next generation of how we were going to take in our content. That was going to be how people read, how people kept up with what's going on in these particular spaces of food, real estate, and fashion. And my husband came home one day and basically said to me, you know, their Lock is raising money. And I was said, really? He said, you should invest in them. He said, you'd be really good at this. And so I emailed Lock and said, you know, I'm really interested in what you're doing. I hear you're raising funds. Can I come talk to you about it? And so that was it. And that was the beginning.
Nice. And I know you're very involved with a lot of the companies that you own. Was that right from the beginning? Is that how you've always invested?
Always operated that way. And, you know, I think that Locke would say the same thing as well as the team is that we all learn. I mean, we were all in many ways newbies there in terms of, you know, building a company and me and starting to invest. I was incredibly involved as much as I forced myself on them and over time realized what my value was, what I should be doing, what I shouldn't be doing. And it was great. I mean, I in many ways, I feel like I grew up as an investor with Lockhart.
That's interesting. And, you know, I think the way you operate, in fact, is a lot of times what a lot of women entrepreneurs need, because they want that person to be able to give them advice and, you know, to be able to tell them, hey, this is what you're doing wrong or right, or maybe this. I think that's so valuable. I do want to talk about, as a woman entrepreneur, you've seen so many companies. When do you think is the best time for a woman entrepreneur to go out looking for funding? A woman entrepreneur has an idea and she has some traction. So how does she decide, okay, this is the next step now. I'm ready to go on and find out what the world has to offer.
That's a great question. Someone posted this on a listserv I'm on yesterday. Am I too early? Because we're sort of evolving and we're coming up with a new business plan. And the thing is that sometimes your best bet is the first meeting you have with those people. A lot of people will say, yeah, you know, definitely keep me posted as you move forward, and then you can never get back in there again. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's really important to have that idea flushed out. You know, you build something, you get traction, you start evolving with that traction, you think about where that business is going, you realize that in order to really sustain where you need to go, you need to raise funds, and that's really the time to go out into the marketplace. I'm not going to invest in ideas. I know very few people that do. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, if you have been a multiple-time entrepreneur with successes, you can come to someone with wireframes and a team that you already know that team, and you know that that team is going to be knows how to execute, has done this before. This is nothing new. So I do think that you know, I want to see a working tool that I can play with, I can purchase on, I can see the data on. I mean, I want to see it work.
Right. So basically, you know, you need to have at least some kind of a product and know that it's working, right? To have that product fit, to make sure that the market wants it.
100%. I mean, at the beginning, the product doesn't have to be perfect when angels invest, friends and family. But when you go out and raise a Series A, your product better be pretty flushed out.
Right.
And otherwise, you're going to have a really hard time getting funded.
Right. And how do you think should they go about finding the right kind of funding? At this point, there's so many opportunities and there's so many options, even though a lot of people don't believe it, but I still think that there's so many options out there to choose from in terms of funding. What do you think should be their mindset to figure out what works for them?
I totally agree with you. There are tons of different options. I mean, you have angel investors, you have seed funds, you've got crowdfunding, you have angel groups. I mean, there are a variety of different places, and I really do think you need to do your diligence. Mm-hmm. When someone says to me, oh, I really want to get in front of this person, and I think, wait a second, you have a company that's in this vertical. They don't even invest in your vertical.
Right.
And you have to do your diligence. What makes the most sense? It's just like when people – I get in front of people. I mean, I was I had a phone call the other day with someone, and they didn't even like take the time to just do a quick Google search to figure out what I'd invested in, who I was, what is of interest to me. And they asked me a couple of questions that were so silly. It's just like, you actually just got on the phone with me and didn't even do any research. I mean, I do research before people walk into my office,
right.
Even if they sent me a cold call in regards to their business, and I think, wow, this is really interesting. I still look, you know, do a little digging to see who these people are.
Definitely. So due diligence is important. And then I guess that based on that, you decide, you know, what would be the best for you.
Right.
Absolutely. And what do you think, Joanne, are maybe the biggest, you worked with so many entrepreneurs, so many women entrepreneurs. And what do you think are the biggest challenges that women entrepreneurs face in the fundraising world?
I think that women, I think anyone that pitches face challenges. But one of the pitches, the things that I think women face challenges is that women tend to cross their T's, dot their I's, under-promise, over-deliver. For instance, I was in a meeting with a woman who I'm invested in. And we were talking about the business, and she needs to go out and raise money. She's like, you know, I think this could be a $100 million business. I think this could be a $1 billion business. That is a big difference.
Right.
And so...
So you think that has to do with confidence?
Yeah, I don't know if it's confidence. I just think it is the, you know, raising money is... a game. There's a way to do it. There's a way that makes sense. There's a confidence that needs to come across. You have to believe the person on the other side of the table is going to execute on their vision. And I met someone yesterday, a woman who has this concept and she's building it right now. I love the way her thought process worked. It is exactly how you build a company today, regardless of the content on that what she's building. And she had an air of like, I am going to kill this thing.
Nice.
And because of that, I thought, you know, this woman's going to have no problem getting a Series A when the time is right. If, in fact, she does build what she says she's going to build and the numbers start flowing in based on what she's going to build. I mean, of course, that's a whole nother set of, you know,
sure.
a whole nother ballgame. But she had that air of like, if it isn't you, it's going to be someone else. And women in general bring so much to the table. I think it's important to have gender balance in all of these businesses. And it's proven that companies that have gender balances tend to do better. They have better success, they have better ROI. And I see many women that I start with when they're younger in their companies and they're not as confident and bold, but as their companies start gaining traction, They've raised one round. They're into their second round. It's apparent where this company is going. I see the confidence in them when they pitch, how they feel about themselves, how they're like, this is it. And if you don't believe in me, then I'll find someone else who does. I think many men feel that way the second they walk in the door, regardless of having built anything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's something that's learned. I don't know if it's something that just how women are. I mean, I really don't know the answer, but we have to get better at bringing that air of confidence to the table.
Right. And I think, to that point, I sometimes feel that if you just go with it, go with your gut and do it and be bold, like you said, and be fearless about it, even if it may not be the right idea, it may not be the right time, it may end up in a failure, but at least you learned something out of it.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, and then you can take that and then move forward. And I think it's also the fear of failure, right? So we tend to think a lot of times we shy away from it and we say, hey, no, what if it doesn't succeed? What are people going to say or what's going to happen? I think that's another thing that is a mindset change.
I agree. I mean, you can't be afraid of failure. And also, I think the really good entrepreneurs or the ones that have had success, we could point to them as that. They never thought failure was going to happen. They just assumed that they were going to be successful. They weren't scared of failure. They weren't scared of missteps. They sort of plowed through. And to have that sort of, is this going to work? I don't know. That sense of failure is not a very good thing.
That's right.
I mean, I've seen entrepreneurs on, I can tell you, I think to myself, they're so scared of failure, they can't move forward.
Right. Interesting. So what do you think about the entrepreneur that has just plan A, right? No failure and we're going to move forward. What happens to them when they do fail?
Oh, there's a huge, lot of conversations about people that fail and how they go into a dark hole. It's depressing. It's upsetting. But I believe that you learn from your mistakes, you bounce back, and you return with a different head on your shoulders and perhaps a different way that you want to build your next business.
So do you think when these people go out looking for funding, if they have had maybe a failed business before or something, are they able to turn that into a positive and show it to the investors to say, hey, this is what happened and this is what I've learned and this is where I am right now?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, I invested in someone who had taken one company, it'd been a massive success, and the other one had been a massive failure. I thought that was a real positive.
Awesome. So what do you think, Joanne, are the three critical steps that women entrepreneurs should keep in mind going from the idea phase to execution?
Everyone should build a roadmap, of course, where they want to be in 6 months or 8 months or 12 months. It's very hard. It's very easy to get carried away and put your head down. And before you know it, 4 months have passed and you pop up and you think, my God, I haven't done what I needed to do. So I think that is insanely important. I think that perfect is the enemy of the good. Put something out there. See if it gains traction. See if people are interested in it. I mean, that's one of the reasons I don't invest in ideas. I mean, I'm not smart enough to know that people are really going to use this product. I might think they will, but we have all been surprised at what companies have become incredibly successful. Mm-hmm. That if you go back in time, many investors who passed said, I would have never in a million years thought that would have been such a successful company. So put something out there. Don't wait for the perfect. When I see that entrepreneurs wait and wait and wait because they're still tooling and tooling and tooling, it concerns me. Because I do think once you put it out there and you start seeing things happen and how your product is used, it gives you an opportunity to really hone in the things that you might not have honed in on if you had waited to put the product out there. So that's really important. And I think the third is, what kind of business are you? There's nothing wrong with saying, I want to be a lifestyle business, or I'm a business where I need just to get a couple of angels who will support me and understand my business, and I will pay them back in dividends every year once I start making profits. Or I think this is a $50 million business, or I think this is a VC-backed business. Be aware of the kind of business that you're building. I see a lot of people go and they get frustrated by getting in the door of handfuls of VCs who don't bite at their businesses. It isn't that it's not a great business. Maybe they have the numbers, maybe have the traction, but it isn't VC fundable. It isn't a business that could be a $1 billion business that will continue to grow and is defensive. And so really be aware of what your business is. And by doing that, you have to do the right diligence to get in front of the right people to fund your business. Not all businesses need funding.
That's right. That's absolutely. I think being in the right room is important with the right people.
Yes.
And you're so right about the, you know, the MVP. Just get, you don't have to be perfect. Just get the minimum viable product out so you even know if it has, you know, potential.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people end up spending so much time building that perfect thing. And then when it comes out, it was great in your head, but people don't really want it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's so true. I love all of those.
Yeah, and I think you have to really be aware of, you see people come out and they'll say, well, I think my business is going to be good for the 20 to 25-year-old crowd who does this. And it ends up, it's 40-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And so you just don't really know until the crowd tells you so.
Yeah, we're talking about people not thinking that that would be the right product. I know I read somewhere about Airbnb and how so many people passed on it to say, hey, no, that's not the right idea. And then look where it's now.
Right. I mean, you would have thought that everybody wants to rent their houses out to random people.
Right. Absolutely. So tell me, Joanne, what do you think are maybe some of the skills that are really important for a woman entrepreneur to either have or develop?
Well, really good entrepreneurs, I do believe, have this fire in their belly that tells them they must be an entrepreneur. They must build this business. It isn't something they feel they should do. It's something they must do. And I'm not so sure that is something that can be taught. I think that they just get up every day with this desire to create businesses, if that is how their head thinks.
I love that, because that's like me. I wake up every day, I'm like, okay, I got to do this. This is what it is. So I know when you invest in a lot of businesses, startups, you are very involved with them. So are you taking the role of a mentor? How do you help businesses out when you invest in them?
I make myself available. I engage. I'm around when need be. I go through stages where some of them contact me daily, and then, you know, we go into like time where we don't talk for a couple weeks. But I, shockingly enough, do talk to all of them at one stage or another based on what their needs are at the time, to give advice and to help and open up my Rolodex to help their businesses move forward, the foundations be cast, and also help them think about fundraising strategies and perhaps meeting the right people. I really do insert my foot in that way if, of course, you know, they want my foot.
Right. So do you think it's important for a entrepreneur when they are looking for funding, especially angel funding, to find the kind of investor that is in it with them or hands off? I know it's a lot also to do with personality, but what have you seen succeed most often?
I think it's a balance. It depends on how much money you're raising, and every investor is different. Some investors write your check, ask you a lot of questions, and you never hear from them again. They just want to know what's going on a quarterly or monthly basis. Other investors roll up their sleeves and get involved and want to be involved. I think as an entrepreneur, you sort of want the balance, particularly at the beginning, because the hours and the work and it's just a lot to overcome moving your business forward. You know, I don't have a rule like 80% of your investors should be passive and only 20% should be engaged. Mm-hmm. But certainly as you move forward and you go with VCs or if not VCs or your own business, but if you do go forward with institutionalized investors, they will be your partners. You'll be married to those people. And all the other investors that came in before will sort of go into the wayside, even though they're still investors. You can certainly reach out to them when you need advice or if you need help, if in fact you built those relationships with them. So I'm not a big – I think it would be very overwhelming if every angel, if the onset was very involved in your businesses. And again, it depends on how much money you're raising.
Right. Thing, if you could offer a first-time entrepreneur only one piece of advice about funding or money, what would it be?
Be smart about the money. Many people get excited. They get the money. They hire too many people. They think that, well, I got the first money, so I'm just going to like ramp this thing up immediately, and then they can't get the second money. They had spent more time spending less money building the product in a different way, maybe a little slower, more a little methodical, everyone working a little harder, continue being scrappy. I think that many people forgot how they got there, and that's not a good thing.
I love that. Awesome. Thank you so much, Joanne. Those were wonderful. Are you ready now for our lightning round?
Sure.
All right. So this is where we get to know you more intimately. So what trophy would you want on your mantle?
I think one of the things that is important for me, and I don't know if it's it would be a trophy, but I really do enjoy helping people grow their businesses. I mean, I feel as I'm the den mother of all of the companies that I have chosen to invest in, as well as, you know, obviously my children are the most important thing in my life, and my husband, is that I'm there for them, that I am, I've helped them navigate the world at large. And that's something I really enjoy. I mean, it's not something I just do to do it. It's something that I really take great pride and pleasure in.
I love that. What is your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure is probably lounging on the couches on Saturday morning, doing nothing in my sweatpants, doing the Sunday crossword puzzle.
And what are you currently reading?
I just finished a book called The Jaguar's Children. I believe it was his first novel. The guy's name is John Valiant. And it was a fabulous book. Very thought-provoking about a kid, two kids really, who come across the border from Mexico in a truck, and the truck has problems, and they go out to figure out what's wrong with the truck, and they never come back. And all these people are stuck in this this unit that they can't get out of. And you go back in this kid's head and how he got to where he did today. And it's a pretty powerful book, and my guess is this is something that happens more than we realize in regards to the immigrant issue we have of people crossing the border. It's pretty upsetting, and it's a really well-written book.
Wow. All right, and what is your one productivity hack?
I read a lot of blog posts at once. It's the only way I can function. I mean, my husband gets up every morning and writes something off of top of mind. I just can't do that. I'm so busy and I need my sleep and I can't get up at 5 a.m. to do it. So on Sunday, I spend a lot of time on the weekends writing 3 or 4 blog posts at once because it's the only way I can function.
Nice. And what is your personal motto?
Be bold.
Awesome. And what would you do different if you were given another chance?
I'm not a big person to look backwards like that. I believe in myself, believe that a lot of the decisions I made for different reasons at different points in my life, that I analyze them today just as, and I must have analyzed them then too, and I made those decisions for reasons that I needed to make at that point. If I could do it all over again, who knows what I would have done, maybe other careers, but you know, it all seems to work out fine. And if I want to do something else and try it going forward, I could try something else. So I'm not a big believer in looking back and having any sorrow towards the decisions I made in my life.
Yeah, I love that attitude because you said, if I want to do something now, I'll go ahead and do it. I think that's awesome. Awesome, Joanne. And what is the best way we can reach you?
And you can reach me, certainly you can see me on Twitter. I'm at the Gotham Gal. On my blog, I have my email. Email is generally the best thing. I mean, people at me on Twitter, I don't respond to that. I don't respond to LinkedIn either. And I have an email, and I'm pretty out there. And I do read them, and I do respond.
I'll vouch for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, I can't respond to all the social media coming at me. Maybe I'm old school because I've been in this business for a long time and I'm probably one of the older people. So email still works for me.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Joanne. You are awesome. You're my role model because I love everything that you do and I love your attitude and I love everything that you stand for in terms of helping people and all of that. So you're amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for spending so much time with us.
That, my friends, was super inspiring and a lot of fun to talk to Joanne Wilson. So hope you enjoyed it and you can link up with her on Twitter at The Gotham Gal and the links are also going to be in the show notes on the website. So please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review and if you know someone who will make a great fit on the show, email me at smita@womanpreneursuccess.com. And if you love our show, please share it with your friends. Don't forget to link up with me on my Twitter. I'm on The Smita Singh and on Instagram on Womanpreneur Success. That's it for today. We'll see you on the flip side.
This concludes another episode of Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. Be sure to visit us at womanpreneursuccess.com so you don't miss any of our tips from some of the industry's leading entrepreneurs, investors, and business owners. Remember, you've got the will. Let us help you find the way. Until next time.